But turn to the book of Jude. Jude, chapter 1, going to verse 20 to the end. Jude, beginning with verse 20. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages now and forevermore. Amen. As we come to the end of Jude's little letter, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning as we finish up a book we took a break from. Lord, help us to grow in our walk. Help us, Lord, as we look to a new year, Lord, to look to a new year as being Christians as well as our physical lives. In Christ's name we pray, amen. As he wrote earlier in his letter, Jude wrote this short letter to urge believers to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. We saw a lot about false teachers and be on guard. But these closing comments from Jude are also a good challenge to Christians as we go forward into a new year. If believers are going to be successful in standing against false teachers, if they're going to be successful in their Christian walk, in the year ahead, Jude calls by writing that they need to press on. Let me give you an example. If we don't continually take care of this building through cleaning it, painting, minor, major maintenance, what would happen to it? Eventually it collapses. The same thing is true about our Christian life. If we do nothing about our Christian walk, we will fall down. There's an old saying that goes something like, if you're not moving forward, you're falling back. Or perhaps to tweak another old saying, the Christian life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. The point is that Christians can't stand still. We need to move forward. We need to press on. So Jude gave four essentials as one presses on. He wrote, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. That is, build up your faith. With that in mind, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 10 and 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 3, beginning verse 10. Paul writes here, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation of a Christian's life is faith in Jesus Christ. In Acts 20, verse 32, Paul told the Ephesian elders, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. If one is going to grow as a Christian, one's going to stand against false teachers, you must build yourself up. If you're going to resist temptation this coming year, you need to build up your faith in Jesus Christ. And to do that, you need to devote time to reading and studying God's word, both in private, but also in groups where you can share and learn from one another. And then you need to practice what you learn. You can read all about healthy living. You can even go to classes. But nothing's going to happen from all that learning until you put into practice what you learn. Only then will you build yourself up. The same is true for growing as Christians. You have to practice what you read. Build up your faith. Second, James says, pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit.
When one becomes a Christian, he humbles himself before God, admitting that he is a sinner, unable to save himself. Prayer is one of those ways that we acknowledge our continual dependence on God. We go to God for help, for the help that we need. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, we submit to Him. We seek God's will. We trust in His power. We don't always know how to pray or what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Romans 8, verses 26 and 27 says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." Pray in the Holy Spirit. Communication is an important thing in any relationship. The relationship between God and His children will weaken and all but disappear if there isn't any communication, if there isn't any prayer. This is why Paul on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray without ceasing. Just as love grows in a marriage where a husband and wife spend quality time together, our love for God will grow only when we spend quality time talking with Him. If we're going to press on in this world against false teachers, the temptations that are going to come, we need to know and practice God's word. We need to keep on praying, and we need to keep in God's love. This is the third essential. Keep in God's love. Jesus talked about that. Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, beginning verse 9. John 15, beginning verse 9. In John 15, verse 9, Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father, my Father's commands, and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." If we're going to be able to successfully resist false teachers and their teachings, if we're going to be able to resist the temptations, we must stay obedient to God and not let anything come between us. And again, our love for Him will grow as we talk with Him. Our love will grow for God as we study His word, as we obey it, as we delight in doing what pleases Him. David wrote in Psalm 119, verse 24, "Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors." And finally, James wrote, "We press on as we wait for Christ's return." We press on as we wait for Christ's return. We need to wait in anticipation for Jesus to come and take us to be with Him. Some future day, everyone who has trusted in Him and has made Him Lord and Savior of their lives will experience Christ's final mercy and enjoy the fullness of eternal life in heaven. In John 14:3, Jesus said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. In His mercy and in His love, Jesus Christ, God will come for us and take us to be with Him. Our hope, our anticipation of Jesus' imminent return will be an anchor that holds us as we go through the trials and tribulations of this life down here on this earth. And as we press on, Jude reminded believers that they must reach out to others. Not only are believers to recognize and oppose the enemy in his errors and to resist temptation, but they are also to reach out and evangelize them with the truth. This is what Jesus did when he came to earth. Jude identified three different kinds of people who need spiritual help. First, there's the doubting ones. The doubting ones. Like wolves stalking sheep, false teachers, temptation, praise, and weak people, immature believers who are not yet grounded in the faith. Jude wrote that those who are strong must be merciful to those who doubt. Believers must show mercy and love to those who are torn between truth and error. Showing mercy does not mean ignoring the seriousness of false teaching or condemning the weak for their doubting. It does mean that the stronger Christian must disprove the false teachings with meekness and patience in God's word. As the truth is taught, there must be agape love, sacrificial love, that assures the doubter that he's cared for and that he's loved. Jude went on to write, to snatch others from the fire and save them. The second group is those who need to be snatched, saved from the fire. I call them the burning ones. Sometimes fire stands for the fires of hell, but it also stands for judgment. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Yeah, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Picking up where he left off at verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Picking up at verse 12. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it's burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Those that need to be snatched are those who have been convinced, perhaps led astray by temptation, by a false teacher. Just like Lot had to be led by hand and pulled out of Sodom, they may need to be rescued from the grasp of false teachers before God's judgment comes on them. James 5 says, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Snatching actually implies seizing or taking something by force. Jude saw the handling of the second group as having to be more direct than the first group. Jesus kind of demonstrated these ideas during his earthly ministry. To those who were confused, unsure, filled with doubts, like the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, Jesus patiently and gently presented the gospel. But to those committed to false teaching, such as the scribes and Pharisees and their followers, he bluntly warned them of their lost condition. For example, in Matthew 23, he called them whitewashed tombs that looked good on the outside, but were dead men on the inside. The doubting ones, the burning ones, and finally there are the dangerous ones. The dangerous ones. Jude wrote, for others, show mercy mixed with fear. Using the phrase mixed with fear, I think Jude cautioned Christians to be on their toes, to be on their guard. This group is a dangerous group to be dealt with. When trying to help those who have been captured by false doctrines, believers must be careful not to get trapped or snared themselves. If one isn't careful in trying to save them, he may be stained or burned himself. Jude is basically, I think, warning strong believers that they must never think they are beyond the devil's attacks and influence. Even while serving the Lord and seeking to rescue one of his children, a Christian can become defiled by those he's trying to save. Believers must love and show mercy to others, but they must also hate the sin and not get pulled in by it. Not every Christian is equipped to deal with false teachers or with those that have been influenced and captured by them. It takes a good knowledge of the Word, a faithful walk with God, and understanding of Satan's devices in the fullness of the Holy Spirit to be successful. And then as he brought his letter to a close, Jude reminded his fellow Christians that through it all, God is able to keep them safe. He wrote, He is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. God will not allow His children to fall away. All we need to do is trust Him. Although our daily walk is full of dangers from Satan, false teachers, and the world, God will keep, really guard or watch over believers to ensure their safety during an attack. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Whether it's resisting Satan's attacks through the culture around us, or Satan's attacks through false teachers who want to change God's word to make it more acceptable, our term today is more woke, believers are safe. Nothing can take you out of God's hand. Jude closed his letter by focusing on God, who so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jude wrote that He is the only God, our Savior. God is our Savior. He isn't just a Savior. He is your Savior. He is my Savior. Thinking of our salvation, our promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ, Jude reminded believers that we can praise God for many things. We can praise God for His glory. That is God's divine attributes, His splendor, His radiance. Exodus 34 describes His glory this way. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. We can praise God for His glory. We can also praise Him for His majesty, His greatness, His magnificence. We can praise Him, thirdly, for His power. His ability to carry out His sovereign will, His creating with just a word. And fourth, we praise Him for His authority. He has absolute right to use His power, His authority. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This includes authority over the powers of darkness. As we humbly yield to Him, we share His authority and accomplish His will. This divine supremacy over everything covers all of eternity, before time, now, and forever. As you are on your guard for temptation of false teachers, as you go forward into this new year, remember God's word. Build your Christian life in faith, hope, and love. Practice what you read. Maintain a good relationship with God through prayer. Reach out to those who are unsteady, unsure. Commit yourself to God, and He will keep you from stumbling, and He will keep you safe. But you must be alert. You must do your part. The enemy is subtle. The dangers out there are great. But the only wise God, your Savior, will keep you safe and one day welcome you home to His Father's house where there are many mansions or rooms. In spite of the hard times that come our way, we can celebrate now and on into eternity. Ephesians 6:10 sums it up well. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. In this coming year, let us go forward in victory in God's power and God's strength and God's love. Let's pray. Lord, we live in a culture where we want to do everything ourselves, to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, is an old saying. But Lord, in our heart of hearts, we know that there's nothing that we can do. So Lord, help us to walk with You. Help us, Lord, to move forward this coming year, this coming week, to move forward in Your power, filled with Your Spirit, with Your strength and wisdom. Lord, use us to bring praise and honor to Your name, to You in Your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.